So today on the podcast, I'm chatting with Andrew Hoskin, who is the Branch Manager of Customer Experience and Education at the State Revenue Office. Their State Revenue Office supports the Victorian Government's revenue management functions as a division of the Victorian Department of Treasury and Finance. State Revenue's Office role is to administer Victoria's taxation legislation and collect a range of taxes, duties and levies. Hi, Andrew, and welcome to my podcast.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
I'm good. Now, one wild fact about you, Andrew, you've just returned from, I think, a very interesting trip, 15 days riding adventure motorcycles in the Indian Himalayas. How was that?
Look, that was great, Sam. It was as a motorcyclist, it was sort of a lifelong ambition to do some riding in India. And when you add in the beauty of the Himalaya, it was an incredible trip. I shared it with a mate of mine from school and his brother-in-law and two Germans and two Spaniards on our tour. It was incredible. So a real highlight. So almost a pre-60th birthday gift to myself. So
it was well great. Done. Yeah. That sounds really amazing. And now you're back to work and you're straight back into it.
Straight back into it. That's right. So I'm still overcoming the injuries, but that's okay. That's okay.
Oh no, yeah. I didn't even want to ask if you sustained any injuries.
Yeah, I got a couple. Got a couple of sore knees and some hands and all that sort of stuff. But that's okay. Yeah.
But it's all part of the experience, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. And if you don't want to get hurt, don't ride a motorcycle. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. So Andrew, what is your role with the State Revenue Office?
Sam, my job is really to help customers, and the term customers from a State Revenue Office perspective is a broad one, and I look at customers as people that pay our taxes, people like yourself who are in the business of advising others, accountants, solicitors and all that. My job is to try to help them better understand what their obligations are. I have a team of nine, and as you mentioned when you were doing the introduction, part of my function is also looking at customer experience, and that is about ways that we can make the experience for people dealing with our office a whole lot better than it may well necessarily have been. So I kind of wear two hats, but all of it is about ultimately making sure that people that deal with our office get a better experience, and most importantly, they understand what their obligations are.
That is really good, Andrew, and the fact that you're so I think generous with your time, and you're very easily spoken and you'll be able to listen to. It's not a lot of jargon with you. That's what I really appreciate. So what is the new legislation that is actually coming into effect from January the 1st, 2025? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Sam, thanks. Yeah, so the short stay levy provisions were introduced into the Parliament 5 or 6 weeks or so ago, and actually received royal assent yesterday. The provisions are about imposing a short stay levy on what's described within the legislation as short stay accommodation, which is accommodation that is for periods of less than 28 days in places that are not considered commercial residential premises for the purposes of GST. And whilst the definition of commercial residential premises is a provision within ATO legislation, there is a really detailed ruling that the Australian Tax Office provides, GST ruling 2012/6, about 50 pages. Great if you struggle to sleep, but 50 pages provides a whole lot of examples and clarity around what commercial residential premises are. Commercial residential premises are excluded from the short stay levy. And in a general sense, we're talking about hotels, motels, hostels, caravan parks, etc. They are considered commercial residential premises and the levy doesn't apply. I mean, the levy has been labelled the Airbnb tax. It's a little bit more than that. It applies not just to bookings made via Airbnb and other booking platforms, but it also applies to bookings that consumers make directly with property owners. So people that operate short stay accommodation where those bookings are made directly.
Yep. So how would this impact those operators that I suppose are obligated now under this new tax ruling? And how will it, I suppose, impact those venues throughout Victoria?
So the impact is subject really to how the venue wishes to charge the fee, or the levy, to be completely honest, Sam. For operators of short stay accommodation, there will be an obligation to register. So that's the first impact. They will need to register with the SRO, and they'll do that through a portal. And they will need to lodge regular returns. Now, they'll either need to lodge a quarterly or an annual return. And the regularity of the return really will come about as a result of what their expected income from the operation of their short stay accommodation is. And if that expected income is going to be over $75,000 in the year, then they'll need to lodge quarterly returns. If it's going to be less than $75,000, then they'll need to lodge an annual return. They lodge a return, they then make a payment of the levy that has been collected. The other issue for operators to consider is whether or not they will pass the levy on to consumers, or whether they will absorb the levy themselves. And you know, that really then becomes a decision for the operator. The other complication to a degree for operators, especially where they take bookings through platforms, is that decision about how the levy is collected and ultimately passed on needs to then be one where the operator has to have a discussion and agreement with the platform about whether or not their fees will go up, or whether or not the cost will be absorbed.
Right. So hopefully, and I know this is without notice, but I'm hoping that somewhere down the track, those platforms actually accommodate for that, because, you know, it'd be nice to be able to, like when you use something like Eventbrite and you have tickets and you nominate or toggle on or off whether or not the fee is in on top or inclusive. Yep. So I'm hoping those booking platforms make it easier for our smaller operators moving forward.
Look, I agree. And certainly we have met with a large number of booking platforms. Certainly all the booking platforms that we know exist now. Have we got them all? I doubt that we've got them all, but I certainly think that we've got the majority of them. There's no doubt will be some that we don't know that exist. And we've certainly explained to them, those booking platforms, how the provisions will work. And so we are certainly hopeful that they will make the process easy. Some of the platforms have advised some of their customers, as in operators, that they will be simply adding the levy to the amount that they charge to the consumer. And that's completely fine.
Yep.
What that does, obviously, however, is it makes the cost of the short stay more expensive for the consumer. But again, that's a decision between the platform and the accommodation owner. If the booking, as I said before, if the booking is made directly with the accommodation owner, then it's up to the owner to decide whether they absorb the cost or whether they pass it on through increased fees to the consumer. Look, expectations are that the platforms will make the process easy for the operators.
Yeah. So, Andrew, if I'm a small business owner, how can I work out if I'm obligated to pay? Is there a self-assessment? How does this work?
It is a self-assessing tax. There's no doubt about that. And I say that by virtue of the fact that registration is driven by platforms and or owner operators themselves. So they make the decision as to whether or not they register. Now, the legislation requires that they do need to register, and the SRO is working at the moment to create a portal for that to happen. So, you know, there is a degree of self-calculation there. The returns, again, are done by either the platform or the owner-operator, and, again, self-assessed. The issue for us that operate short-stay accommodation need to be mindful of is that the advice they're getting from their advisors is really solid in the context of them whether or not making a judgment as to whether or not what they're operating is considered commercial residential premises for the purposes of GST. And the real risk there, Sam, is that if somebody makes a decision that, yep, we believe we are operating commercial residential premises and therefore the levy doesn't apply, the real risk is that if that decision is wrong, the retrospective liabilities will exist and their opportunity to collect that money from their customers will have passed. And so there are some really significant issues there that operators need to be really clear about. And, you know, hence the real importance from the State Revenue Office perspective of the customer education program that we're embarked upon at the moment, the having conversation with persons like yourself, Sam, where, you know, you've shown an interest, you've made contact with me to provide a podcast that, you know, hopefully your customers will listen to and go, crikey, I need to get some advice here as to whether or not I am commercial residential premises or not. Because certainly some of the comments that have been made to us by operators of short stay accommodation at the moment is that they believe that by virtue of the fact that they're running a business, they constitute commercial residential premises. And unfortunately, the definition is a little bit more detailed than simply running the operation as a business. So if you're a small business, how can you work out if you're obligated to pay? Get really good advice. And if your advice is such that you're not quite sure, we would certainly be encouraging people to contact the State Revenue Office directly for guidance.
So if we've got to that stage and that business owner is a little uncertain, maybe got or received information from a couple of different sources, still not clear, how can they find out more information? I mean, like, do you guys have or operate a help centre?
We do.
Or is there a person that they can call and actually speak to over the phone?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first port of call would be our website, sro.vic.gov.au. Yep. And on the homepage of our website, there is a tile that is for short stay levy. My first advice would be to have a look at the information that is on those pages. There is a whole range of information that's about now to be added. We had some basic information on the website, but we were holding off waiting for Royal Assent before adding a whole lot more. There are some frequently asked questions and some other assistance available on our website. That would be my first port of call. Go to the website. If the website doesn't help, contact our call center. The contact number for our call center is shown on our website as well. And if people are still confused or don't wish to go down the path of contacting the call center, I'm more than happy for people to make contact directly with my group. We have a specific email address, which is education@sro.vic.gov.au. So if people had a specific issue about wanting clarity on short stay levy, if they were to send us an email, we would most likely make contact with them and set up a time to have a chat with them about their particular circumstances.
Oh, that's fantastic news, because I've had a good look through the website and the frequently asked questions section is really quite good. It's easy to read, lays it out, it breaks it up. It's really quite good. But I can understand people out there that would still be like, oh, how do I know? You know, maybe my property's been rezoned in the last 10 years. Maybe things have shifted. Maybe things are going to change in the future. Agreed. How do you navigate? And being able to pick up the phone and actually talk to a person, I think, is half the battle in understanding what the obligations, you know, could look like.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yep.
In saying that, is there anything that you can share with us as part of the education program team that would be helpful for a small business owner? So is there anything that you've suddenly thought of that thought, well, this would be a really good tip?
Yep. Two things, Sam. Well, three things. Things, Sam. Four things. Let's go the whole hog. First thing would be on the SRO homepage, sro.vic.gov.au.
Yep.
Scroll to the bottom. At the very bottom of the page, there's a link to customer education. Click that link. It takes you to our customer education landing page, which provides a calendar of the events that we're running. It also provides a link to our subscriber email list. And the value of our subscriber email list is that it provides people that are members of that list with updated information. So when things change, so when new legislation is introduced or when we release rulings or whatever, we send out an email to those people on the subscriber list alerting them to that. So that would be probably, first thing for me would be look at our customer education calendar, see what we're offering and attend. We've certainly got some short stay levy webinars planned. Subscribe to the subscriber list. Third point would be if you're on LinkedIn, either search for myself or search for the State Revenue Office and connect with the State Revenue Office on LinkedIn. And the reason for that is, again, we use LinkedIn as a medium for sharing issues that have changed from a state taxes perspective. So a little bit like the subscriber email, but done through LinkedIn. The fourth thing that I would suggest is that if people are still really unsure or are nervous about what their obligation will be, seek a private ruling from us. And again, on the website, if people went to the SRO website and searched how to get a private ruling, you'll be taken to the process to seek a private ruling. The value of a private ruling is that the commissioner will stand by the advice that he gives, which will then give you absolute clarity, especially in the short stay levy space, as to whether or not the levy needs to be collected or not. So that would be my tips.
Wow, those four tips are great. I've just subscribed to the newsletter. Cool. 3 seconds, people.
Yeah, doesn't take long.
Today. Doesn't take long. Andrew, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You've clarified quite a few things for me as a small business owner that lives in a rural area. And we'll put in the show notes, the links and so forth that you've spoken about today. Yeah. But I really appreciate your time, Andrew, because I know you're on the road. I know you're out there doing webinars and Zooms and meeting with local governments and tourism and business associations, is my understanding. So thank you very much for you and your team for being so, I think, proactive and having a real clarity about these new obligations and tax laws. So thank you very much, Andrew. I really appreciate
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it, and great to have the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the other thing is,